I'm going to read these words again to us this morning. And it's from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This year, I'm working my way through the Bible in a year via an app produced by Nikki Gumbel, who most of you will know was the brains behind the Alpha Course. And each day, there's three Bible passages to read, one from either the Psalms or Proverbs, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. And then there are some notes written by Nikki Gumbel to guide our thinking. And one of the notes this week had the title, What Does the Future Hold for Me? And he started by writing this. At one point in my life, I developed a tendency to catastrophize, especially about health issues. If I experienced the slightest pain or symptom, I would assume the worst. I was really helped by someone who pointed this out to me and said that to catastrophize means to overestimate the danger and underestimate your ability to cope. Catastrophizing leads to fear and is the opposite of faith. Fear tells you that you will not be able to cope. Faith tells you that your Father in heaven knows you will need strength to cope, and he will supply all you need just in time. God will arm you with the strength you need, whatever lies ahead. I found that a really helpful thought, particularly in my current life situation, which is leading me to think a lot about the future. And it also reminded me again of our verse for the year, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It reminded me that when we are weak, that's when in God we are strong. That we find all we need, not in our own power and our own understanding and our own might, but in God's power when we place our trust in him. And I think this links really helpfully into our theme of the shield of faith today. We've looked at the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of peace. And now we take up the shield of faith so we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Before we think a bit more about the purpose and function of the shield, I want to think for a minute about the flaming arrows of the enemy. What are these flaming arrows? The picture on the right is a book that I've used a lot in helping me plan this sermon for today. And it's a book called The Armour of God, and it talks a bit about the flaming arrows and what the purpose of them was. It says that in ancient warfare, armies would often send flaming arrows, more like javelins really, into the ranks of the enemy. These flaming arrows weren't meant to kill or to injure, although they could and did. They were meant to distract. If the enemy could get a fire burning in the camp, it would distract some of the soldiers and create a break in the ranks where the enemy could infiltrate. The flaming arrows of the enemy represent anything that seeks to distract us from the security we find in God and his will and his plan for our lives. These arrows may seek to disrupt our families, our relationships, our jobs, our sense of God's direction for our lives. They may sow seeds of doubt or fear or lies in our minds that lead us away from God's good plans and that drain us of life. But the hope that we have, again written in this study, is this. Our enemy wants to keep us from stepping out in faith because he knows the minute that we do, when we activate the shield of faith, we will be protected and his fiery arrows will be extinguished. At difficult times in life, it can feel as if our troubles and fears are too big and too overwhelming. We can worry sometimes about what the future holds and how everything is going to work out. I admit to having some of those kind of thoughts at the moment about our move to Bristol. I'm sure we've all had times where we've become so consumed with a thought or an issue that it becomes draining or crippling. And it goes back to that idea of catastrophizing, talked about by Nicky Gumbel. We can get into situations where we overestimate danger and underestimate our ability to cope. Faith is recognizing that we don't need to have the ability to cope, that God gives us that ability. And he gives us the strength we need just when we need it. That's what the shield of faith is all about. When we take it up and when we activate the shield of faith, recognizing that however big or difficult or overwhelming a situation might be, that God is bigger, that God is stronger, that he will give you all you need to cope and overcome the enemy. As we protect ourselves from those arrows, which are fears and lies and whatever else that seek to disrupt our lives, then the fire begins to go out and we're able to move forward in life with faith and confidence as the enemy is forced to retreat. So that's the flaming arrows. Let's think a bit more about the shield. Excuse me for quoting this book a lot, but I found it quite helpful. And it has some good information as well about the shield of faith. And it gives a description of the kind of shield that's being talked about in this passage. There were two types of shield used by soldiers during this time frame. The one the Apostle Paul was describing in Ephesians 6 wasn't a small round one about the size of a bin lid. They were sometimes used. But those left the soldier's body uncovered and exposed. He was referencing a larger shield that was typically 2 feet wide and 4 feet long, shaped almost like a door, consisting of planks of wood fused together. The wood was covered by a canvas, then by leather. Then iron was built in the center as a hub and on the extreme edges of the shield from top to bottom. This made the shield able to withstand the hard-hitting strokes of an enemy's broadsword during close combat. Ancient historians say that these shields were so large they were capable of covering the whole body of a soldier when he was crouched down. So that paints the image that these shields were big, that these shields were strong and heavy, and they were able to cover pretty much the whole body. And from my reading about the shield and my thinking, I want to share 3 images today of how this shield may have been used by a soldier, but also to use these images to consider how we might use faith as a shield in our lives. And the first image I want to paint is of the shield as a shelter. This draws on the last line of that description that I've just read that talks about the whole body of a soldier being covered by the shield when the soldier was crouched down. I like to keep quite up to date with the news with the war in Ukraine and to have a bit of an understanding about what's going on there. And one of the main sources I use is from Sky News. And every couple of days, there's a short interview posted on YouTube. An interview with a military or security expert who's explaining the current situation at different points along the front line. And one thing that's become apparent as I've followed the Ukraine war, and I'm sure this is true of most battles, is that the two opposing armies take it in turns to attack and to defend. And this depends on a whole range of factors. It depends on the weapons and the soldiers that are at their disposal, weather conditions, momentum, surprising the enemy in some way, and so on. We hear at the moment that Ukraine are very much in a defensive stage, trying to hold off the Russian army, particularly around the town of Bakhmut, and biding time as they wait for new weapons from the West. They then hope with these new weapons that they can turn defence into attack. Sometimes a battle isn't always about attacking. Sometimes it's about standing your ground. We should know now after a few weeks in this series that in Ephesians 6 it tells us three times to stand firm. This passage is much more about standing our ground in faith than going on the attack. I'm sure in battles in Roman times, there were occasions when the flaming arrows were raining down so much on an army that rather than standing, they were actually forced to take cover and to hide behind their shields, crouched down, a bit like in that picture up there. And in modern warfare, I'm sure there are times where so many shells and bullets are being fired that for a time the wise thing to do is to take cover and to wait for the storm to pass. Sometimes in our own lives, the thought of even standing firm can seem like too much. The pressures might feel like too much, the challenge too great, the enemy too strong. And that shield might just feel too heavy to hold up. You might find yourself feeling like that a bit today. And in these times, we are offered this image of the shield as a shelter. There are times when it's okay to crouch down, to cover ourselves in faith, or sometimes with a duvet, and to admit to God that this is all too much and I need your help. The image of God as a hiding place and as a shield, as a shelter, is biblical. We've heard it in our songs today. We've heard it in that psalm I read earlier. God wants us to come to him in our brokenness and in our desperation. Just a couple of verses that remind us of this. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And so a really good way to use the shield of faith is as a shelter, as a hiding place. When everything around us is a bit too much, we can crouch down under it. We can come to God and be safe and secure in his presence whilst we rebuild our strength, whilst we wait for the storm to pass. And then when we're ready, God will give us the strength we need to stand again. The second image I want to paint is of the shield as a tool for advancing. So imagine a soldier holding this shield, walking forward towards the enemy, the arrows being blocked by the shield, which protects the soldier, allowing them to keep on course, to keep moving forwards. You might wonder why a soldier would want to walk towards the enemy. Actually, in battle, soldiers tend to. If you look at most battles, whether it's the war in Ukraine or the two world wars or ancient wars, most battles tend to be about territory. Often there's an invader who wants to take land off other people, and there are those who want to defend their land and push the enemy out. We move towards the enemy because we want to take the land that they hold. We want to push them out. We want to move beyond where they are. And we don't want to face them forever. This reminds me of the people of Israel as well, who crossed the Red Sea, who walked through the wilderness for 40 years in order to reach the promised land. That was a battle in itself for them that they went through. With God's help, they get to where God wanted them to be. In the book of James in the New Testament, we're told that faith without action is dead. As I've said, there is this time for crouching behind the shield as a shelter. But that's not where God wants us to remain forever. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be moving forward, living life, sharing faith and building his kingdom. He wants us to be taking ground from the enemy for him. He doesn't want us constantly facing the same struggles. He wants to give us the strength and the tools we need to move beyond those struggles. And the shield of faith is one of those tools. And so we move forward knowing that God has got our back, that he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, and to work all things for the good of those who love him. And so we pick up that shield and walk forward with the confidence that God will protect us and help us. Again, I want to read from that book about faith in action. Simply put, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. The key thought here is action. By definition, faith is not talking about or thinking about or even celebrating God's truth. It's the process of adapting your life, your decisions, and ultimately your whole lifestyle so that it accords with what God has asked you to do, without needing to see the evidence that it will all work out in the end. In fact, things that make faith, well, faith is when, like David and Rahab and the children of Israel, you choose to act in accordance with truth, despite the fact that you can't see what the outcomes will be. The act of faith is what becomes a shield of protection to guard against the enemy's attacks. So I've painted two pictures so far. One is a slightly more passive picture of faith, but equally important. Whatever is going on around me, I am safe, I am held and secure with God, who is my shelter. His shield is over me, and I can rely on him to get me through whatever is thrown my way. And then there's this more active element of faith, where we look to move forward and to advance, to take ground for God with him as our shield. We do this by choosing to step forward, and as that passage there says, adapting every aspect of our life so that we are living in the direction of God's will and his plan for our lives. We walk where he leads us and we do the things he's prepared for us, knowing that whilst we can't see the outcome, God has got our back. And so you might today be in hiding mode, or maybe you are ready to move forward in some way. Perhaps you know where God is leading you next, but you haven't yet had the courage to take that step of faith. Perhaps you identify the fact that you've got too comfortable in your bunker and God wants you to get out of it and move in a new direction. Maybe there's someone that God wants you to help or share your faith with and you haven't yet had the courage or you don't find it easy. Take that step of faith, knowing that God has got you and that he goes before you as a shield. The final image I want to paint when it comes to the use of the shield of faith is of strength in numbers. I've used this image of soldiers in what's called the turtle formation with interlocking shields a few times already in this series. In battle, Roman soldiers would typically hold their shields in front of them as they move forward, but at times when the flaming arrows of the enemy were being fired, they would gather together into this turtle formation. They would dip their shields in water, and they'd huddle together with shields in front of them and over their head. And the shields would provide a thick, damp shell that protected them from all the arrows of the enemy and extinguished any flames. This was a really clever tactic, and it was a good use of the shields, and a really helpful reminder as well of the importance of togetherness and community. This use of the shield reminds us that we're safer and stronger and more able to move forward when we're living out our faith together. One of the things I love most and will miss most about being part of RBC is the encouragement that we give to each other. I was really touched at the church meeting that we had earlier this week by some of the encouraging words spoken to me by other people, and then hearing people encourage one another in the different things that they're involved in. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep encouraging one another, building each other up in faith, praying for one another, sharing our burdens with one another, and checking in on each other so that we can continue to keep offering support. One of the things that's coming up in the life of the church is during Lent, we're going to be meeting together on a Wednesday evening instead of our regular small groups to worship and to pray together, to pray for one another, to offer that support. And so I'd encourage you to come along to that. So I've given three images of the use of a shield. The shield as a shelter, the shield as a tool to be active and move forward, and the interlocking shield, this turtle shape in which we support and help each other in faith. And so I want to encourage you today to take these three images and consider how you might need to use the shield of faith today. You might want to take the image of the shield as a hiding place and respond by picturing God surrounding you and covering you and holding you safe in the midst of whatever chaos is going on in your life. You might want to decide it's time to put faith into action and take that step forward that you've been putting off for a while. Ask God to give you the courage and the assurance today that you need to take that step. Or you might just need an encouraging arm around you today. Someone else to lock their shield together with yours. Someone else to say, actually, you're doing really well. God is with you and God is for you. Keep on going. Someone to pray for you. A friend to encourage you. I'd encourage you to find someone here before you leave to do that.